And we're holding on page Nun in Sota, the fifth line, so middle of Oskofjord Gimel. We were learning about, the Mishnah was talking about, that after the Kohen Mashiach Melchama makes the various announcements to encourage them, Shema Yisrael Atem Kreid Mayoyim LaMelchama Aleiveichem, and don't be afraid because Hashem is on your side, and the announcements about anybody who planted, who built a house or planted a vineyard, etc. Then the Pasuk says that the Shoitrim announced anybody who's Yorei V'rach HaLevav should go home and discuss what Yorei, what three opinions in the Mishnah, what Yorei V'rach HaLevav means. Rabbi Akiva saying, Poshut, a person is a coward. Rabbi Yossi Aglivi says he's afraid of Averis. And Rabbi Yossi says, I agree when he's afraid because of Averis, but it has to be more major Averis than the kind Rabbi Yossi Aglivi is talking about. So the Pasuk continues. In this connection, by the way, remember the Yerushalmi brings over here, I mean, if a person is going to claim an exemption on one of these grounds when it comes to the house or the vineyard or whatnot, he has to bring some kind of proof to it. Otherwise, I mean, anybody can claim that they built a house or whatever and be home free. So they have to bring some kind of proof. Some of Hoshim talk about in that case, then the Pashtus, the idea is they don't have to bring the proof in front of everybody. The whole point though was Rabbi Yossi Aglivi had said, the reason why the Torah gave those exemptions is to serve as a cover for people who have to go home because of their Averis. Well, very well then, in each case, they only have to, like, they have to show the evidence to, like, their commanding or their immediate commanding officer or something. And therefore, so, and in the case of the fearful one, they may not even need to do that. If he's taka fearful, like Rabbi Akiva says, then everybody's going to see it on him anyhow. Okay. Pasuk says, when the officers finished speaking to the people, then they set up officers of the army in front of the people. So the Gemara adds, so the Mishnah adds, they have people standing not only in the front, but also to lead them into battle, but also in the back, the back of the ranks, so to prevent people from running away. The Yerushalmi explains, since it says foktu, so therefore we learn from that, you could have just said poktu, so therefore we learn both in front and in back. What's the purpose? Ma'amin zakifim lufnehem, in front of the ranks, in front of the soldiers, they have strong people, zakifim, meloshin zoikif, kfufim, that if somebody is falling and getting discouraged or whatever, then they'll help him up, and they'll help him up and encourage him to continue fighting. And then they have other people in the back behind the army, the Kashilin Shal Bowers will be a day hand, where they're holding iron weapons with them. Rashi says Kashilin Kane Chatsin, it's a type of like a spade or a chisel or something, a very large metal implement. If anybody wants to run away, they can take these kashilin, these powerful metal weapons, and use them to chop off or to hit the guy's legs to prevent him from running away. And that's important, because the beginning of a rout, the beginning of people running away, is that they fall in battle. The Gemara actually points out that seems to be backwards. First they run away, then they fall. So the Gemara says, you're right. What the Mishnah means is shetilas nefila, the beginning of a fall, the beginning of a loss in battle, is nisa, is people running away. So therefore, so you have to keep people from running away, and if that means that you have to break their legs or whatever, then so be it. Mephoshim explained, in other words, basically, a person who's going to run away is like a roidif. His running away is going to infect everybody else, and pretty soon you're going to have many people killed, Rahman al-Tzlan, and therefore he can be considered a roidif, and as is the usual rule with a roidif, then you can wound him if necessary, you can kill him if necessary to prevent him from doing that. Shanema, as we find, well, I don't know if you're right, maybe not to kill in this case. I mean, in the halacha of a roidif, the rule is if you can wound him, then you have to do that. You're not allowed to kill him. Well, very well over here. They don't have to kill him to prevent him from running away. All they have to do, and not that itself might demoralize everybody else. So therefore, just hitting him in the legs would be quite enough. Well, it doesn't really matter. Melchamas mitzvah, melchamas rishus. The fact is that a rout is still going to lead to, a lot of casualties. So yeah. The part that where there's going to be a difference between Melchamas Mitzvah and Melchamas Rishus, the Mishnah is going to go on to say in the next couple of lines, is as far as who's exempt in the first place. When we said that the people who built a house or planted a vineyard, etc., our potter is only by Melchamas Rishus, etc. But as far as that if people are going to run away, we have to physically prevent them, that's going to apply across the board. Shanema, as we find by the battle against the Plishtim near the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the one where they took the Arden and it was captured. So a guy comes from the battlefield and runs and tells Eli what happened. The Medrash says it actually brings on the Pasuk that it was Shaul. Nos Yisrael lefnei Plishtim, the Jewish people ran away in front of the Plishtim. Began magefa gdola hoisabam, and then there was a tremendous blow against the people. So we see they ran away, and therefore there was a tremendous blow, and as the Pesukim say, where 30,000 Jews were killed, Rahman al-Islam. Or the Halan Oimer, similarly you have at the end of Shmuel Aleph, the Shaul's last battle, by Yonusu Anshe Yisrael Mipnei Plishtim, the Jewish men ran away from before the Plishtim, by Yitlu Chalolim Vagamer, and they fell, and then they fell as corpses. So the same thing, in other words, they're running away, and therefore they were vulnerable. So we see this idea, Tchilas Nisa Nefila, Tchilas Nefila Nisa, that it's important to prevent them from running away and keeping the ranks, in order that there shouldn't be a general slaughter of the army, Rahman al-Islam. So the Mishnah says, the Medvar Mamurim, now when is all this talking about that was saying that various people have exemptions, is B'mochomis HaRishus, is when it's a voluntary Mochoma, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara defines what exactly are the various types of Mochomis. Avam Mochomis Mitzvah, but when it comes to Mochomis Mitzvah, HaKol Yotzim, then everybody has to go out to war, after the Chosen Mechedre, the Kalam Mechapasa. Even the Chosen is an expression of Chosen Mechedre, the Kalam Mechapasa is taken from an expression from a Pasuk in Yoel, but it means even the Chosen has to leave his room, and the Kala has to leave her chuppah. Now what are we talking about the Kala? She doesn't go to war on the face of it. So that advice explains what it means is if a chosen has to go to war, what's the sense of a kala being in the chuppah? She's going to sit there all by herself. But you have to realize the chuppah in Gemara terminology, at least one possibility is that it means the yichud, what we think of as the yichud room. So what's she going to sit, if her chosen has to go off to war, is she going to sit there in the yichud room by herself? No, so she may as well go out of there, not to fight in the war, but just because she's not going to, what's the sense in being there anyway? Different other mephoshim talk about different other possibilities. Maybe, in fact, the women are obligated to do home front duties, such as supplying the soldiers with food and water and whatnot, things like that. They don't go to war and actually stand in the ranks and hold weapons, but they can be doing those things, what they call nowadays in Israel, Shedut Lumi. They could be doing that conceivably. Although Mephoshim point out, you know, once in a while you have a couple of stories in Tanakh and post-Tanakh, where women actually gave the crushing blow. You have a story in Sefer Shoftim with Avimelech, the son of Gideon, where a woman dropped a millstone on his head and broke his skull. You have the story of Yehudas killing the Greek general. You have a couple of other examples like that. So maybe it means, in other words, they're not going to actually go and stand in the ranks, but nevertheless, they can still be involved kind of as auxiliary forces to the battle. That's the expression of the pasuk. That's the expression of the pasuk. Chosin nechedre v'kalam echoposin. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, keep in mind actually. So I was just saying that the chuppah is the yichud room, but the truth is it's actually not so simple. We're showing him talk about three different possible meanings of chuppah. One of them is actually the kala's veil. So in that case, then it's unique to her. The chosin is not under that veil. So in that case, it would make sense to describe the chosin in his room and the kala in her chuppah, meaning in her veil. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns differently. Rabbi Yehuda says that the exemption for certain kinds of people is Mochomis Mitzvah. But when it comes to Mochomis that are obligatory, then everybody goes out, even the Chosen and the Kala. Now, so the Gemara explains, actually, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are not actually arguing, they're really just using different terminology. What the Tanakhama calls mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda calls choiva. And the Gemara explains what you really have is, in other words, that you really have, it's like this, you know, you have, for example, the wars of David HaMelech to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, those are unquestionably Mochomis HaRishus. We know, even for that matter, David was conquering areas outside Eretz Yisrael before he had fully conquered Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore those areas have a lesser degree of Kedusha, they're called Surya, and then throughout Shas, they have a lesser degree of Kedusha, so those were an example of Mochomis HaRishus. Then you have, on the other hand, you have the battles to conquer Eretz Yisrael, unquestionably a those are unquestionably something you have to do, and therefore everybody has to go. So the machlokas is you have wars to keep the goyim at bay, basically. So do those count as mitzvah, or do those count as rishus? Okay. Eglah Rufa Perek Tri, so we're back at the beginning of the seventh Perek, where it started listing the various things that you can say B'chol Loshon, and the various things that have to be said B'loshon HaKodesh. One of the ones on the list that has to be said B'loshon HaKodesh is all the statements that are said in connection with the Eglah Rufa. So now, the first half of this Perek then deals with the dinim of that mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, now, one of the part of the mitzvah is, the first thing they have to do is measure to find the nearest city. So, may ayin ho yomoded in, from where on the body did they measure? Now, sometimes you might conceivably have that a slight difference like that is going to make a major difference. If you have two cities, you know, you have one city 100 feet away and another city 101 feet away, you know, then a difference in where you measure from the corpse is going to make a big difference. So Rabbi Eliezer omer mitziburi. Rabbi Eliezer says you measure from the navel of the body, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Akiva omer mechoitmai. And Rabbi Akiva says you measure from his nose, again, as the Gemara is going to explain why. Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, says you measure from the place where he becomes a cholol. Now, you know, the word cholol, we usually translate in English as a corpse or a dead body or something. In English, that could mean that he died of any number of causes. In Lashon Kodesh, the word cholol means specifically somebody who was killed by the sword. Now, in and of itself, you could have a person could be killed with a sword and then stabbed in any number of places in his body, but the general assumption is that a cholol is someone who was killed by a sword to his neck. So therefore, sort of Lezman Yaakov says that since he's described in the Pasuk as a cholol, and how do they become a cholol? By being struck in the neck with a sword, then therefore that would be the point on the body that you measure from. Machalal Cherek, right, yeah. So the Gemara says, "V'maykom mitzvi." What is the underlying machlokas? Marsava ikur chayuse ba'apehu, or marsava ikur chayuse b'tiburehu. One holds, where Rabbi Eliezer holds, rather Rabbi Akiva holds, the main chayus of a person is in his nose, his breathing. That's the most important thing, and therefore that's where you have to measure from. As you see, for example, Eitz Yosef refers to the Gemara brings in this connection, and also in Yoma, it's Kolosh Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apel. The most basic thing is a person, or most any creature, needs to be able to breathe. So therefore, needs oxygen. So therefore, that's considered the main part of its chayus. Or Marsova, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds Ikach Chayus B'Tiburehu, the main chayus is in the navel, because a person eats and digests the food, and the food is necessary for a person to be able to continue living. You have to breathe first, but the question is, you know, a person needs both, so which one is like the more important thing? The Maharal says that, you know, we can discuss like basically which is more important, the guf or the neshama. The guf can be exemplified by the navel, the middle, the midsection of the body, where the food that keeps the body together is digested. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is going to focus more on the neshama, and that's represented by the breath in the nose. So the Gemara says, Lema kihani tanoi. Should we have to say that the machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is, we're leaving aside Rabbi Lezman Yaakov for a moment, because Rabbi Lezman Yaakov's reason, as we're going to see soon, is based on a different consideration altogether. But Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who are saying that the basic question is where his main chayos is, should we say kihani tanoi, that they're arguing in the same machloikas as the following tanoi? Mehechan vlad noitzer, when a baby is formed in the womb, what part is formed first? Me roshay. So one opinion is that his head is formed first. V'chein hu oimer, as we see, David thanks Hashem, mim e'imi ata goizi, from the womb of my mother, you, in the context of the pasuk, it means like to pull, like pull out. So like you pulled me out of there and helped me be born. But the Gemara's understanding that goizi has to do with a word for the head, v'oimer, because we have a pasuk, gozi nizrich v'ashlichi. The Navi tells the Jewish people of the time of the Churban, tear off the head, the beautiful hair of your head, and then throw it away, and in mourning for the Churban. So we see that the word gozi is really has to do with something that's on the head, and therefore mimeimata gozi. So we understand that David is also saying, in the womb of my mother, you created my gozi, my head first. So therefore, that opinion says the head forms first. Abba Shaul says the navel gets formed first, and then it spreads out roots in all directions from there, and the rest of the body is formed from there. So therefore, so it seems that maps to the same machlokas as Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer would be like Abba Shaul, and then Rabbi Akiva, who says the nose over here would be like a chachamim, the head. So everyone says, no, I feel the time at Abishol. You could even say that Rabbi Akiva would agree, that Rabbi Akiva and Abishol would agree. Ad kamna ka'omer Abishol hasan elol inyan yitzira. When it comes to the formation of the baby in the womb, then Abishol says the midsection is formed first. To ki mitzah vlad, when the baby is formed, then it's formed from the middle first and then spreads outward. Elsewhere, the Gemara refers to this point also when Hashem created the world at large. Was it, the Gemara mentions in Yomah, Machlokas, did Hashem first create the middle and then spread out from there, or did Hashem first create the edges and then kind of pull them together? So you often have like the midsection of something is where everything begins from. Avla in neshama or chayusa, when it comes to the life and the life force, the kol alma ba'antehu, then everybody would agree that it's in the nose. Shenamar, like we just quoted the pasuk, klaleshem nishmas ruachaim ba'apav, any creature that has the breath of life in its nose. The Gemara mentions this point also, for example, in Yuma, in connection with the Mishnah says over there that if you're digging somebody out of a heap of rubble from a collapsed building, then on Shabbos or Yom Kippur or whatever you keep on doing Pekuach Nefesh until you find that he's not breathing, and then you stop because at that point you can't save him anymore. So the Gemara has the same discussion over there. Would it necessarily depend on the nose, or maybe you should be looking for the heartbeat? So the Gemara has a whole discussion of it over there, and also brings this point about the breathing is the most important thing, and therefore in Halacha basically that's what determines whether a person is alive or dead, which of course has a lot of implications for the whole question of brain death and all that sort of thing. So in short, Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah is not necessarily agreeing only with the Chachamim. He may agree with Abishol as well. So basically, in other words, the Maharal says the bottom line is, which is the most important part? The most important part is going to be created first. And the question is, therefore, is the most important part the head, and therefore it gets created from there first, or is the most important part the midsection? Then we said, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says that the place where you measure from on the body is from where he became a corpse, from where he was actually killed, namely mitzavore, from his neck. So, my time, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, why does he say that? How does he know that Davka, somebody who's killed by having his neck cut, is called a cholol? Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel, loses oisach el savre chalalei roshoyim. To place you together with the necks of the chalalei of the bodies who were killed by the sword of the Rishoyim. The context is the pasuk is talking about Yechezkel, as talked about earlier in that parak about the Rishoyim of the Jewish people who are going to be killed at the time of the Churban. And then he goes, and then he turns to Bnei Ammon, and he says, don't think that you're getting away with it either. In the earlier psukim, a few psukim earlier, Yechezkel describes how Nebuchadnezzar has a dilemma in front of him. He has two places that are rebelling against him, Yehuda and Ammon. Which one should he go and subdue and conquer first? He's going and doing various kinds of kishuf, and it all turns out and symbolizes that he should go to Yerushalayim first. So the Bnei Ammon, in addition, also the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, actually the Ammonim and Moavim were working on convincing Nebuchadnezzar to go after the Jewish people. So now the Ammonim are going to think after that, ha, look at this, we got away with it. Our enemies, the Jews, have been destroyed and dispersed, and we're still nice and comfortable over here. So Yechezkel tells them, your time is coming too. Your necks are going to be placed next to the necks, metaphorically, next to the necks of the Jewish Rishoyim who were killed by the sword, and you're going to suffer the same fate. So we see that the word chalalei means people who were killed by the sword, and it mentions it in connection with the neck. So the Gemara goes on further, and it talks about in great detail a number of the dinim of the Egla Arufa, the place where it's done, and the criteria for the Egla, and so on and so forth. And eventually the Gemara says, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, mipnei ma Omer Torah hove Egla banachal. Why does the Torah say that for finding a dead body out in the fields, that you bring an Egla, a calf, and decapitate it in a nachal in a valley? You actually have, by the way, Machlokas, Rashi, and the Rambam, what Nachal Eisan means. Rashi holds that it means hard ground. The Rambam holds it means a very fast-flowing stream. And like you do it on the banks of the stream. Anyway, so why do you do that? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem is saying, symbolically, Yovei Mishalei Osa Peres, there should come a calf which has not yet produced any fruit, because it's Egla Bas Shnosa, it's a baby animal within its first year, and it hasn't had any children yet. And anyway, by definition, it has to be that no malacha was done with it, and part of that is it can't have been mated with. So it's an animal that has never produced any peres, via orif, and it will be decapitated, the mokum shein osa peres, in a place, a nachal esam, which is not going to produce fruit, first of all, because the Torah says you're never allowed to plant there again while you're over by Veloy Zareah, but besides that, also, if it's hard ground, then practically speaking, you can't really cultivate it, and if it's a stream, then you can't really plant so close to the banks of the stream anyway, it'll get washed away. Anyway, v'chaper al mishlo hinuchu lasis peres, and it will bring a kapara on behalf of the one who they did not allow him to produce peres. So the Gemara asks, as far as that last one, hey peres, what kind of peres are we talking about that they didn't give him a chance to produce? Ilema period Rivia, do you mean that that he died now, was killed now prematurely, and he didn't have the chance to have children? Elameatim, well, by that logic, azokin v'asris tochinami d'lo yafinan, would that mean that we don't do egla arufa for if the victim was old or a soris, we can't have children anyhow, and we don't find any place any such thing? Ella, no, the peiris that we mean over here is mitzvahs. So he had no, he didn't, he lost his chance to do mitzvahs in the rest of his natural life that he lived, and for that we have to have this whole kapara. Marsham mentions in this connection that the Ramban brings from the Rambam, the Ramban and his Pirush on Chumash brings from the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim an explanation why this whole to do with the Egla Rufa. And the idea is that Rambam explains that this way it'll be a huge public spectacle. People are gathering from all over to see this unusual thing that's going on. So now people are going to talk about it for a long time to come. People are going to be talking about what happened over here. And that way, between one thing and another, they may put together enough information to find out who the killer was. So that's the idea. In other words, Marshall says that's where that fits with what the Gemara is saying over here. You want to make people realize what a terrible tragedy it was, and therefore motivate people to say, you know what, we should really find out who did this to make sure that such a thing never happens again. You see, by the way, also Bechlau, you see from it the sensitivity that the Torah expects a Yid and the whole Jewish society to have. You know, nowadays they find a dead body, you know, it'll make it on page 50 of the newspaper or something, you know. Then it becomes like it's front page news and the Skenim of the Sanhedrin Gdola and the Skenim of that city and so on and so forth all have to get involved and this whole to-do about it.
He could have been a homeless person,
but yeah. We learned also earlier in the Masechta, another possibility is also, he might have been a person, as you know, like this they say, as the Gemara is going to quote soon, they say that we didn't know that he was in the city and let him go without food or an escort or whatever. So earlier in the Masechta, Rashi had explained, conceivably he might have been tackled without food, and then he's traveling along, and he sees somebody who has food, and out of desperation, he attacks him to get some food, and then the other guy kills him in self-defense. So yeah, that's possible also. Marshall also brings further along, by the way, an interesting idea from Targum Yonason on the pasuk. What happens is, after the whole ceremony is done, says Targum Yonason, worms start crawling out from the dead body of the Egla Arufa, and they start heading, the Derech Nes, they start heading in the direction of the Ritzeach. So therefore, eventually now he's found, eventually the worms are outing him as the Ritzeach, and then they can take him and do what needs to be done. So in fact, even Yaakov says that's part of the question. Why dafka are we doing it with an egla, which is a smaller animal and fewer worms are going to come out of it? Why are we doing it in a place with hard ground where worms are not naturally going to live in such an area? And the reason is because of the symbolism, Yavim Yishaloi Osa Peiris, etc. There's a sicha, by the way, where the Rebbe talks about different understandings of Rashi on the Pasuk and the Rambam and the Ramban, what the exact idea is behind all this. In other words, is the kapara primarily motivated by the fact that there was a victim over here, or primarily by the fact that there was a ritzicha, or primarily by the fact that there was a ritzeach? And the Rebbe talks about that, the different nuances and how we understand. Part of the point is that Rebbe develops the idea over there like this. When we say mipnei ma omra torah hove egla manachal, the question really is, this is a weird kind of thing that you don't find any other example like it anywhere in the Torah. You have a kapara, you have a korban brought. Fine, you have maybe parah aduma is not an actual korban, but it's still brought outside the Bais Hamikdash and the blood sprinkled towards the Bais Hamikdash, etc. But here you have this weird thing that's out in the middle of nowhere, and you're not even shechting it in the normal way. You're decapitating it, which on the face of it is Saba al-Chaim. So therefore, so the idea is because of this whole symbolism over here with the matter of the Paris.
What if he died of natural causes?
Okay, but we don't know. But therefore, you know, we still have to assume somebody didn't keep an eye on him.
He was killed out with this sparks of blood, and then when he was hit, he was wounded.
Well, so that's what we're saying. You know, usually we would assume that a cholol, it means that he was actually killed with the sword. So there's evidence that he was killed. But pastor, so the same thing would really be if you found him dead of other causes as well. But yeah. The Mishnah continues, Zikne Osarir, the Zikanim of that city, it can mean the local Beis Din, although the Rambam understands that it means all the Zikanim of that city, even the ones who are not actually members of the Beis Din, Ruchten Esedehem, they wash their hands, Al Mokamari Fosashal Egla, over the place where the calf was decapitated. The Gemara explains, by the way, after they decapitated, they bury the carcass, and then now, afterwards, the Zikanim are washing their hands over that area. V'omim, and they say the pasuk Yadenu leShofchos Adam Hazeh, and the point is again all this has to be said in Lashon Kodesh, which is again what this is doing in our Masechta. Yadenu leShofchos Adam Hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood. Ve'enenu leRohu, and our eyes did not see it. Now, why do they need to say that? V'chitala al daitcha v'chial libenu also rather shezikne beisin shevchi damim hen. Would we conceivably think that the zikne beisin have spilled blood that they have to say we didn't do it? Ever, what they mean is Loi Bol Yadenu Uptanuhu. He did not come to our hand and we let him go, the Gemara explains, without food. So Veloi Uptanuhu, and we let him go, the Mishnah doesn't specify without what. Veloi Reinuhu Vinachnuhu, we didn't see him and let him and leave him alone. Tana, so we learn in a Braisa, the Gemara interjects with a Braisa, Loi Bol Yadenu Uptanuhu Blem Mizonis. The first part of their statement means we did not let him go without mizonis. We made sure that he would have food with him. If we didn't, then it's because we didn't even know that he was in town. Because if we had known, we would have made sure he has food with him again, so he doesn't have to rob people to get to out of desperation for food. When they say we didn't see him, would mean below lavoya that we didn't allow him to go unescorted. So it's important that, as Gemara is now going to discuss, that you have to be malava, you have to accompany a traveler for a certain distance. Maharshal discusses over here. Now, what does that mean? One second, is Beis Din responsible? Every single person is going to be going alone. They have to arrange for somebody for Lavoya for him. So Maharshal explains in some detail over here. It's not like somebody has to accompany him the whole way or a significant part of it. It's enough that they malava him four amas. That itself is the idea is that Maharshal describes to Dover Sguli. It's more like a Sgula rather than, that's not obviously four amas is not going to actually help protect him against any kind of danger. But now it shows, in other words, that you have your das on him, that you have your kavana and your thoughts on him, and your thoughts, Machshava Mayelas, your thoughts are effective on him, and therefore, so Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, and that means also that the malachim of the one who started doing the Levaya, they continue. He can't go any further, because he has to get back to whatever he's doing. His malachim can go accompany this person. So that's what Maharshal explains. Different other mafroshim talk about different other parts of it. Another point is also, I'll get up like we were learning before about dog of belave ish yesterday, about when a person is worried, then it tends to drag him down. So like this, if a person has no lavoya, he himself is feeling bad, like nobody cares for me. So that itself can have a negative effect on what happens to him afterwards. Mashenkin, you malava him, showing that he's important and valued, even you can only do it for amas, but it's still, that itself puts him in a better frame of mind, and therefore that makes it that now he's more likely to have good mazel and to have good everything on the way. The Maharal makes another point as well. By being malava him, you're making him part of the tzibur. And we know that tzibur is always more powerful than the yachid.
Any relation to
malava yamesh? There it's also, you want to make sure that the mess is not just going to, is going on a very long journey to the olam ha-emes. You don't want him to be going by himself either, but yeah. So that's what they're saying. When they say, we're saying we did not know this person was in town. If we had, we would have made sure that he had food and an escort. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, at that point, the Koyanim say, Now Rashi points out a couple of psukim earlier, it says, "Benigshu akoyanim b'nei Levi." It says the koyanim should come forward. Now it doesn't say for what. So far in the description, the way it is in the Torah, you have the zkeinecha, the members of the Sanhedrin Gdola, go out and measure to find the nearest city. Then the ziknei irahi bring the egla arufa, and they do the whole thing, and they say, and then in the middle, the pasuk says, "Benigshu akoyanim b'nei Levi." And then the pasuk goes on with the rest of the ritual, and it never mentions explicitly what the Kohanim do. So therefore, the Kohanim are the ones who say, the next pasuk, Kafir la'amcha Yisrael, Asher podisa Hashem v'gomer, Hashem atone for your people that you redeemed from Mitzrayim. So that's their role, is to say that. And there's the idea, in other words, even though the fact is, the Ziknei Beis Din was saying did everything they could, the fact is, still a Yid was killed, and therefore there still needs to be a Kapara, and therefore the Kohanim are expressing that, and asking that Hashem should taka be Mechafer for them. So then, in fact, Targum Onkelos adds over there, Taka on the Posit, Kahanaya Amrin, the Koinim say, Kapalam for Israel, etc. Then the Posit continues, V'ni Kapal Lahem Hadom, the blood will be forgiven to them. Now, Shein Tamad Lahem, V'ni Kapal Lahem Hadom. Now, it doesn't need to say that, and it doesn't mean that the Koinim say that, or Ma Tamad Lahem, V'ni Kapal Lahem Hadom. What does that phrase mean? And the Ruach HaKodesh Mavasartan means the Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem, when he dictated the Torah to Moshe, is telling them, Mavasartan, is giving them the good news, Emasai Shetasu Kach, if you do like that, Nikapo Lahem Adam, then the blood will be forgiven to them. Meaning, Marsha says, because like this, the Kohenim are saying, Kapra L'Amcha Yisrael. So therefore, so how could they also say definitively, even Kapra L'Am Adam? So therefore, this is the Torah narrating that if you do this. And again, here you have the point with the worms and all that we said before. If they do it properly, then those worms will take do their job and unmask who the killer is, and then they'll be able to take care of the matter. Fine. Now, we mentioned in the Mishnah the importance of giving him Lavoya. So therefore, so now the Gemara talks about, that's in some detail, about the importance of that. Tanya, Hoyer of Meir Omer, Koifin Lavoya. We force, if there's somebody who does not want to accompany somebody else, that he should accompany him, at least, as Marashal said, the 4 hours. Because the schar for that, for accompanying a fellow yid in the beginning of his trip, there's no limit to how far that reward can go, as the Gemara is going to show now. So Marsha points out that the mitzvah itself has a shear in the sense that you have 4 amas for a regular person, and then the Gemara goes on to talk about different amounts for a person's rebbe and so on and so forth. The Gemara discusses it. The Gemara discusses it later and in Ein Yaakov. We'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So that's why Marsha says this is not listed among the things Ein Lahem Shear that we say in morning davening, because there Ein Lahem Shear means there's no minimum amount that you have to do to be yotz of the mitzvah and atorda. Here it's not that you have a minimum amount, 4 amas. What it means Ein Shear, there's no limit to the amount of reward that a person could get. It could work out so kaladurtis for the fact that he did one act of Lavoya. Dichtiv. And we have as follows. It's Sefer Shoftim. It's describing how the various Shvatim after Yeshua passed away, the various Shvatim are going and dealing with mopping up the Knanim left over in their various territories and settling them like the way they're supposed to. The Pesukim describe where there some of the Shvatim were more careful with it, some of them were careless, v'chola v'chola. Anyway, it mentions that Shevet Yosef was working on conquering the city of Luz. Earlier in Chumash Bereshis, we have Luz as another name for Basel. So the pasuk says they were looking at the city of Basel, and so then the pasuk says, "Vayiru Hashomrim Ish Yotzim in Ha'ir." The guards were the guard that Shevet Yosef had put up guards, so they couldn't find where the entrance to the city is. Vayiru Hashomrim Ish Yotzim in Ha'ir. They saw a man coming out of the city. Vayomru Loi. So they said to him, "Hareinu Noas Mavoya Ir. Show us, please, the entrance into the city." Vasinu Imach Chesed, and we will do with you Chesed. You have the word Ve'emes over here. The word Ve'emes is not actually in the pasuk. So Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, "Vayarem Es Mavoya Ha'ir." And sure enough, he showed them the entrance to the city, and then they were able to conquer the city. Uma Chesed Osu Imay. What was the Chesed? Now, to be sure, this wasn't Lavoya per se, because Lavoya involves walking along with the person. He was not necessarily walking along with them, as the Gemara is going to say soon. He made a motion with his mouth or his finger to show them where, but that's the point is. The point of Lavoya is to show the person the right way to go. Well, that's exactly what he did. Uma chesed osu imay. So what chesed did they do with him? Now the pasuk says that they sent his family away. So you would answer that itself as the chesed. But so shenemar as the pasuk should call oisahir hogul fichadav. They killed everybody else in the city by the sword. Vesa ishres mishpachta shilechu. They sent free this guy and his whole family. Marsha explains, in other words, by Rochav, we have it's only her immediate family was saved. She tells the Meraglim, "I saved your lives, now you do with me a chesed and save my immediate family, my brothers, my sisters, my parents, v'chola." Here, it's more than that. His entire family, so his extended family too, was all saved because of his one act of Lavoya. So Shinem, I was the pasuk says by Yelach Ish Eretz Achitim. The pasuk says the man went to the land of the Chitim by Yiven Ir. He built a city by Yikra Shmo Luz, and he named the city Luz after his old city. And on top of that, that city was something special. Not only, first of all, he saved his family, and they were all able to move there. But also, Tonem, we learn in a Braisa, what's so special about Luz? First of all, he Luz for Tzoyvin B'Tcheles. This is the city of Luz where they died Tcheles. Ben Yehoyada points out, we find in the Gemara and Megillah that Tcheles was mainly fished for in the territory of Zvulun in Eretz Yisrael proper. Here we're talking about in the land of the Chittim, but the place where they would process the dye and actually use it for the dyeing would be in the city of Luz. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Tzitzis, you need other ingredients together with the dye. You need in order to make it take properly to the wool. So the pastures, I guess, they were able to find those more easily in the area around Luz. Anyway, he Luz. You want to know what's special about that city, Luz? Shabbat Sancheirev Melech Asher v'Leid Bilbala. Sancheirev came and conquered the whole known world, but he didn't mix it up. Unlike, as we know, Sancheirev deported people from every place that he conquered and resettled them someplace else, and so mixed up all the peoples of the world. So he didn't do that. He wasn't able to conquer the city. Marsha points out, what happened with the original city? Why is it with the original city of Luz that Shevet Yosef couldn't find their way in until this guy showed them? So the Medrash says that the name Luz is a type of nut, a hazelnut or something. So the entrance to the city, there was a big hazelnut tree over there, and the only way in and out of the city was through a secret passage through the tree. That's why they couldn't figure it out until they saw this guy coming and they showed them the passage. Well, Marsha says the new city of Luz, New Luz in Eretz Achitim, may have also been the same kind of thing. Therefore, Sancheirev's army couldn't find their way in, and therefore the people there were saved from him. But Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bava, v'lo yachriva. Nebuchadnezzar came 100 years later, and he didn't destroy it, even though, again, he destroyed cities all over the known world. Again, he wasn't able to get in there either. Even the Malach HaMavis is not allowed to go through that city. So therefore, nobody in that city dies. Elas Kenim Shabbat. So what happens is the old people in that city, Bizman Shadaitim Kotze Behem, when they're sick of life, they've already lived long enough, might see a Moisim or Yotzim Chutzachimah, then they're drawn out, or they themselves go outside the city, Behem Nasim, and then they die there, because in the city itself, the Malach HaMavis can't get in there. Marsha refers over here to, first of all, Marsha points out, and when we say over here that the Pasuk says that it was in Eretz Achitim. Now, the problem is the Chitim are one of the seven nations. So what good does it do to him to go to the land of the Chitim? It's still going to be in an area that the Jewish people have to conquer. So it must mean Eretz Achitim, therefore the Gemara is Darshan, Chitim, Meloshin Chayim. And in fact, Marsha says the word Ha-Chitim can be rearranged to spell Hames Chai. Somebody who should have died is going to live in this city. So they live forever over there. Marsha refers over here to a Gemara in Sukkah that tells that one time Shlomo found out from the Malach HaMavis that two of his secretaries, Chodof and Achia, their names were, are marked for death. So he sent them off to Luz, and then just outside the city they died. And then the Malach HaMavis the next day is very happy, and he tells Shlomo, you know what, you brought them exactly to where it was decided, Min HaShemayim, that I should get them. I was upset because I can't get them here in Eretz Yisrael. And then Shlomo says, you know what we see from that, a person's feet, Hashem makes it that a person's feet lead him to where he's supposed to be, Api Ashgocha El Yonah. Anyway, the point is that he thought to send them to Luz, again, because inside the city they'd be immune, but in the end they didn't actually make it into the city. The Zohar mentions in this connection, given that it's a place of such chayus, of such life, and the Zohar goes on to say that you have the letter Tes, which represents Toiv, as the place was created with that letter Tes, and therefore it's a place of such tremendous goodness. So in fact, the vote is, in other words, the Eibishter Davka led, this guy, this fellow from old Luz didn't know specifically where he's going, but the Eibishter caused him to come to just the place that was made to begin with from Mais Bereshit as a place of such tremendous goodness. Anyway, the Zohar says in that case, and if it's a place of such tremendous goodness and chayus, then why wasn't the Beis Hamikdash built there? And the answer is, the Zohar says, because there you only have the letter Tes shines openly in the Beis Hamikdash, the entire 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. So it's Alpi Kabbalah, but in other words, the point is this is a place that's like almost in its own little way is on a par with Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Maharal says that's Takawai. When we find in the Pesukim, when we're talking about the city of Luz, it seems almost like sometimes we're talking interchangeably about the one from Eretz, about old Luz in Eretz Yisrael and new Luz in Chittim, because in fact there's a certain deep connection between them. Okay. So, Vale Dvorim Kavachomer. So the Braisa continues. Reb Meir continues. Now let's make a kavah chomer. Uma knani ze madoch this knani shaloi holach beragla. He didn't walk with his feet to show the guards from Shevet Yosef where the entrance to the city is. Veloi dibur b'fiv, and he didn't speak with his mouth. As the Gemara will say soon, how he informed them. Goram hatsala loyal azare ad soif kol adertis, and he caused a rescue for himself and his descendants until the end of time, because Luz even now is a place like that. Hamadabra b'fiv, well, if a person speaks with his mouth, Ramahalach, or he actually walks, or the Gersa in the printed Gemara, Misha oisa lavoya beraglov, or he actually does lavoya with his feet. Like Kolshaken, how much more so that he gets a tremendous infinite reward, and therefore, like we said, Kofin the lavoya, we can require and force a person, based on can force a person to actually do that mitzvah. Marshall explains, in other words, the best thing would actually be to walk with him, and then that shows him, and you show him, you start walking with him until the place where it'll be clear to him from now on where he needs to go. That's the ideal. You're not going to do that, then at least do the next best thing is at least to tell him with your words the directions to go. You're not going to do that, then you're going to have the least things, which the Gemara is going to go on to say. This fellow did was curving his lips, making a smirk with his lips or something, or signaling with his finger. That's the least thing. But nevertheless, even that gets tremendous schar, as we have with him. So Elab Meher Lahem, so what did he show them if he didn't walk and he didn't speak? So Chizkiyah says he curled his lips or curved his mouth or something to indicate to them over there. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, that's Boy Herolahem, and Rabbi Yochanan says he pointed them with his finger. So which one basically is considered like the most minor maisa that he could do, and for that, nevertheless, he deserved a schar. Tanya Kava says it Rabbi Yochanan, and we learn a brisa like the way Rabbi Yochanan learns it. Knani b'schar sheher lehem be'etzva, because he showed them with his finger which way to go. Goram hatsol the loyal lazara and say faderus. Therefore, he calls that his descendants until the end of time, until the end of all generations, are saved. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So in this connection, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Hoy mahalach baderach ve'ein lo levoya." What if a person is walking on the road and there is nobody to accompany him? So nobody taka was fulfilling this mitzvah. So then yasik b'torah, let him be involved with learning Torah. Marsha points out, you know, in Tfilas Haderech, we say that a person who's traveling on the road needs chen v'chesed, v'snein v'chein v'chesed v'rachman, v'einecho v'einecho re'enu. So instead, if he doesn't have levoya, then instead the Torah will serve that purpose. Shenema, ki livyas chen heim l'rishecha, as the Pasuk says, the Torah is a livya of grace for your head. In the simple meaning of the Pasuk, Mephoshim explain that livya means a coronet, or like a garland, a wreath, or something like that. But here the Gemara is dashing Livias Meloshin Lavoya, that brings you chain, the anokim, the gagare sefer, and it's a necklace around your neck. So therefore, so the Torah instead will help you and give you that chain. Marsha explains the word anokim can also mean Meloshin giants. So it means like as if you had giant, mighty men together with you to protect you, the Torah will serve that role for you if you don't have Lavoya. Ve'amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, further Rabbi Shurban Levi says, here's another thing to tell you the importance of Levoya. Bishvil Dalat Amis or Psiyas Shalivahu Pari Lavraham, because of four Amis or four steps that Pare accompanied Avraham when he left Mitzrayim, as we have the Pasuk, by Tzavol Pare Anoshim, by Shalchu Oise, by Shalchu implies that they walked along with him. That they, in fact, Targum translates it Valviu, that they accompanied him. So Nishnabed Bevonav Dalad Meishchana. For that, Pare had the quote unquote zchus to be able to enslave the Jewish people for 400 years. In other words, why did it have to be? Hashem could have chosen any country to be that, but now because of this zchus, therefore he got that opportunity. Same kind of thing. For example, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, because Nebuchadnezzar walked three steps in honor of Hashem, therefore he was given three generations, therefore he has the power to destroy the Beis Mikdash, and therefore he has three generations of his family are going to be emperors. So yeah, in other words, the idea is Hashem sometimes rewards the Rishonim in that way, that they have now a greater capacity to do evil because of that. It means in the end they're going to get a greater punishment for it, but yeah. But Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, and in this connection, of Yehuda says in the name of Rav, call him a laves chavera, if you doubt Amos Be'ir, if he accompanies him, even four Amos in the city, like Marshall said before, the four Amos at least symbolically shows that you're with him after that. So then, Einan Nizik, so he won't be harmed. The one who's traveling won't be harmed. It means also that the Malava himself is now deserving of special protection of Hashem for that as well. And the Gemara, in fact, gives an example. Ravina Alvi el Rabba el Rabba Bar Yitzchok Dalat Amos Be'er. One time, Ravina accompanied Rabba Bar Yitzchok 4 Amos in the city. Motel Yoda Hezeka. A danger came up. The Itzil, but he was saved from it in the schus of that there had been that Lavoya done. So we see that Ravina's Lavoya had a very positive effect that it prevented Rabba Bar Yitzchok from getting harmed. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and talk about the various amounts that you have to do halvoya for different kinds of people.
What does it mean when
Shemitah Kartilov Rehu? Shemitah means that when a person, when they leave one another, then it means that they'll remember each other. In fact, it means they'll remember each other. Through remembering that halacha, they'll also remember each other. There's deeper meanings in it as well. It means that way the person himself is now remembered more by Hashem, and so on and so forth. Yeah. All right, Yom Yom Mashiach of Go'olach of Test 7. So the Rebbe was talking in early Tovshin Nun Beis that the only thing that's left at this point is for Yid to open up his eyes properly and see how everything is already ready for the Go'ola. We have the table is already prepared. We already have the Levyos and the Sherabur and the Yayin and Mashumer. Jews are already sitting around the table, and that means not just any table, but the table of their father, Melech Machia and Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Mashiach. As we know, it says in Sfarim that in every generation there's somebody from Yehuda who's royaliest Mashiach, and in our generation it's Nisi Dereinu, and of course it doesn't take a genius to read between the lines and understand who the Rebbe was referring to. Okay. Continuing with Dinim of Muktzan Yomtev. Now you're allowed to make fire. You're allowed to use fire on Yomtev. Therefore, firewood is not Muktzah. But it's only not Muktzah only when you're using it for firewood. Otherwise it would remain Muktzah, just like on Shabbos. And that means even the set of Gufon and Mekoyman, because after all, wood is not a keli. It's Muktzah Machmas Gufoy, and the Dinim of Muktzah for that are generally more severe than for other kinds. So therefore, for example, to use a piece of wood to hold up, let's say, a wobbly pot, or to use it as a doorstop or whatever, would be usher. The Alter Rebbe says maybe you could be makel if the wood is dry and really ready right away for firewood.
That's